church history, and here we are in the age of grace. I just want to continue on there and look at a few things, some applications, and why it's important to understand these things so that you can see what's happening around in not only in the world but in the church age, and see that it's really kind of what God kind of prophesies. But before I do that, a little news and views today here, okay? Well, last week we got Buttigieg out of Indiana and going to White House, but now this is more good news for news here. The coronavirus thing, no fret about it. Why? The Pope is offering our prayers. How about that here, okay? So here we go. Pope offers prayers to Virgin Mary for protection. How about that? Okay, don't worry about nothing here. The Pope offered a prayer to the Virgin Mary on Wednesday afternoon. Go online, watch the video if you want to. If you're not feeling that well, surely make you feel better. A day of prayer for the coronavirus emergency. Okay? It was broadcasted from the Diocesan Vicar. This is a vicar over here in Italy, at the Sanctuary of Our Lady of Divine near Rome. And the Pope wanted to entrust the city of Rome, all of Italy, and entire world. Get that. See that? World domination. Seriously. See that there, you know? See, first of all, Rome. It's like in the Bible, you have be a witness first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and outermost part of the world. You know what the Rome buying us? World domination. Get that thing, you know, to the protection of the Mother of God as sign of salvation and hope during the ongoing coronavirus emergency. See that there? So mark it down. Now, steadfast in faith. It says here that Pope Francis calls Mary the health of the sick, adding that she kept her faith firm as she stood near the cross as Jesus suffered. It says salvation of the Roman people. This is speaking of Mary. We are certain that you will provide as you did at Canaan of Galilee. Well, wait a minute here. That's John chapter 2. And if you read John chapter 2, when there was no wine, all she did is say, she said, just do what Jesus says. He says, whatever he say, do it. So the only commandment she ever has is follow her son. But you see how they kind of just take things out of a portion over there. And so the only commandment for Mary was to listen to her son. The Pope also said, we seek refuge under Our Lady's protection, knowing that she will help us conform ourselves to the Father's will. You know, one thing about the Bible, the word know is found in the Bible. Matter of fact, that word know appears 38 times in 1 John. These things have I written unto you that you may know that he have everlasting life. One of the fundamentals of the Christian walk is to know that you're saved. I mean, it's a basic doctrine. You got salvation, the assurance of it, right? That's a fundamental or a comfort. There's actually, so you got salvation, the knowing of it, comfort, the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. Those are four essentials, really, that every believer should know. Salvation, knowing they're saved, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. God will give you wisdom. Those are four things, no matter where you are in the world, where you are, four things. But there's no knowing about Mary here. There's no chapter and verse. Kind of covers what we're going here. No chapter and verse. And then here we go with historical precedence. It says here that this is a kind of historical, because when Pope Pius the 11th went to pray before the statue of Mary in 1944. Now this is our buddy here, Pope Francis. This happened 75 years ago, and it says when he prayed that Nazi Germany would not take over Rome. Well, that's historical. Well, first of all, if you look at history, Nazi Germany and the Catholic were united. There were concords. People don't realize that. There were concords. Anyway, the Pope thought that maybe Nazi Germany was going to win. They kind of went in bed with them, kind of, you know, with all, because they're pooing. That's what happened. So what about anyway? But why didn't they, if they're praying for that, why didn't they pray that the rest of the world was protected? See, Rome. Be careful of those guys over there, you know. Anyways, I'm not going to read this prayer because it's kind of just glorifies Mary. But if they have a translator here in English. And the bottom line with it is they mention 9 times going to Mary. 9 times. And the only time mentions Jesus Christ here says, it says, he who took our sufferings upon himself and bore our sorrows to bring us through the cross to the joy of the resurrection. Amen. But to be able to do that, you got to go through Mary. You see that? You've got it. By the way, you know, we make a little fun this year, but it's kind of a sad state. There's almost 1 billion Roman Catholics. 1 billion. And this is, you know, the news media prints this like it's fact. Well, it is fact. But I mean, you think about it, this, it's kind of really wicked. And as a matter of fact, this is me. If I'm going to talk to a believer, I'm a believer, whether it be a pastor, a professor, a layperson, I would ask 2 questions, and these 2 questions when I'd ask, and you pretty much find out where they are spiritually. I'd ask them, 1, what their thought is of the King James Bible. And 2, I'd ask them, who is the whore of Revelation 17 and 18 in Revelation? With those 2 questions, you pretty much see where they are spiritually. Know that? Because you know why? That the whore of 17 and 18 is one of the mysteries that says in Corinthians, I think, chapter 4, that if a man is a steward, he should know the mysteries, right? And that's one of the mysteries. So if you're a child of God, you all know what one of the mysteries are, and that's always pointing to the world domination. So how they answer those questions, I can pretty much tell where they are spiritually. It comes down to where I'm going here. That's where they are spiritually. And I can tell right away, oh man, this person here is just not well grounded or doesn't understand things. Very important to understand some of these things, and that's just right in our news here. So don't worry about the coronavirus. The Pope's taking care of all that, okay? Anyways, going right into our study here of church history. Rome has been part of history all throughout the church age. And I could spend a lot of time on this here. I remember I was walking, riding my bike with my kids. They were little kids. And there was a big bike ride there in Darien. And there was a guy walking. He had a rosary beads. He's trying to pray him. I drove by. I go, oh, kind of look at that guy there. I was just talking to him. I go, oh no, I'm watching my kids. Talk to him. I go, oh man. You know, sometimes the Lord does that. You know, just talk to that guy. And so I sat at the bike. My kids kind of pretending like I'm doing something. He comes walk by. I go, oh, how you doing? His name is Brian. So I had a conversation with him. You know, his rosary beads. Long story short, he was he had Bible studies, Roman Catholics, in his home, and he invited me out. And I went, me, my brother, and a guy named Rich, did we have a great time. I mean, it got such a debate, he'd be turning lights on and off at the house. Okay, enough. You know, now I went there, honestly, with a good attitude, and try to give him some truth here, you know, and try to get him converted, really. And he was nice, invited us over, and I mean, it was kind of hard, because I'm a guest in his house, handing out little ingots and everything like that, you know. But honestly, there's a clear division. And then I goes, oh, you're one of these fundamental Bible believers, he called me. And he actually gave me a book. This is very interesting about church history. And he gave me a book, 2 books actually. I still have them. One was a book strictly on Jack Chick-Tracks, How to Answer Them. You want to see, I have it at home somewhere. It's literally how to answer all the Chick-Tracks that they have. And here's the bottom line with their brochure. They're wrong and we're right. No scripture. They just had this cocky opinion like, we're just right. We're the mother church. And we don't believe what they say. No scripture behind anything. And then they gave me another book, How to Answer Fundamental Bible-Believing Questions. I mean, they write them down. You know, what do you say about someone asks about you're born again and all that stuff. I mean, their material is very good because you see where they're coming from. And I remember one time, question was, now that it's known through church history, through the Dark Ages, how the Catholic Church had had St. Bartholomew Massacre, Spanish Inquisition, all those things that literally that the lynchers were Nazi, all that, and they literally killed and murdered. I mean, depending on what history you read, it could be 50,000 people to 50 million people. You really can't tell, because all they kind of try to bury all that and burn it all the history, you know. And their answer is, well, yeah, that's true, but you know what though? Pope so and so has had forgiven, so it's over with. I mean, what? Hey, why don't you go back all those stuff you stole, property, and make restitution? Never. So, I mean, that's their answer? Oh, we just killed all these people and raped and pillaged and murdered and took their stuff, and we're forgiven. The Pope said, okay, hey, you know what, that's their answer. You know what, and they're writing it like, what we are the authority, and that's it. I mean, so it's very interesting. That's free. I'll just get into my message. Okay. Getting into this here, from last week, we've got this truth right here, a solid foundation on where you have to stand. That is having the authorized version, rightly divided, will give you sound doctrine. You got to get that. You got to get that. It's really so simple. It's profound. You know that. It's so simple. That, I mean, I wish somebody would have early on, I learned this through a process of time. And sometimes when you learn through a process of time and you experience, it then becomes a conviction. A lot of times what I found out, a lot of people are raised in all the truth. They just take it for granted. It's not coming to conviction. But I'll show you a little bit here. I went through a lot of this thing and personally experienced it. And it became a conviction. I see how it really works. But having the final authority, life is about what? Authority in life. Everything in life comes down to an authority, right? And what is your authority? Absolute final authority. It's the Word of God, the King James Bible, for many people. And then if you rightly divide it, you'll get sound doctrine. Very, very important to get sound doctrine. Let me get my scriptures here now, if I can find them. So what we have here is we have this truth as a foundation. What we have as we're getting ready to head out of here, the church getting ready to leave, we have an apostasy taking place. And it even started back there in Paul, but it progressed. We call that progressive revelation. That's why God kind of even revealed some more truths to us as time went on. He revealed truths to the church as God needed. That's very important, because you know why? When God revealed some of these truths in the early church, people didn't get them. But they weren't ready for them. But God supernaturally got his word going, preserved it, came out here. There's no accident. I mean, there's a long period of time in church history you couldn't actually hold the words of God in your hand in one book. That's amazing we can do that today. God did that at a certain amount of time. So we have this foundation, the written word of God, rightly divided through scripture. What we have in the past, his story, we have present, what's going on right now, and we have prophecy in the future. So we look at history, Israel, and the church. God's concerned about his nation, Israel. He ain't forgot about them yet. They're blinded now, one of the mysteries, but God's dealing with the church. So as the church getting ready to take off, God will again deal with history. So you look at what's going on with the church, what's going on with history, you see everything coming together. That's kind of the blessed hope they're found in Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope. Appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We can see that happening. So the saint of God, you know, sees that happening. Especially this last year with all things going on, you wonder, how can it be where all the world get together, unite, and you know how they unite? Through fear and finances. You know, they could rule through fear. Oh, you know, the boogeyman here or whatever, you know, or something, you know, or your finance, man. We got to eat. You want to be able to go to store, and it's nice to be able to feed. I mean, you know. So those are two things that were definitely coming together here, right here together. And if they can control your fear, and your finances, there can be world domination. That's going to happen. We can kind of see that just on our horizon here. So we ought to be listening for the Trump. You know that Trump? That's pretty exciting. So what we have here through this church age is we've got folks that have got off this foundation. And if you would open up the yellow pages, look for Sea of Christian Churches, how many King James Rightly Dividing Churches would you find? That's a small percentage. I mean, just in the last, in my generation, I've been saved since 1986, I've seen a tremendous downturn in doctrine, in teaching. You know, men generally like doctrine. And women like the more, you know, this is general, you know, like the little, you know, social type things, you know? And churches have gotten more socially involved and not doctrine. That's why a lot of churches, as you get towards this year, are coming a little more effeminate because you're peering more for the ladies and all the emotional stuff. That's been happening by, that's why some of these contemporary churches we have here are so popular. And I think, look at some of the men in them, they're kind of effeminate. I'm just telling you that. Observe. Because you know why? They're not speaking on doctrine. God's concerned about sound doctrine. So as we go up this and I use labels, but you know, you have to use labels today. You say you're a Christian today, that don't mean anything. A Jehovah's Witness claims to be a Christian, and a Mormon, and a Catholic, and a Methodist. I mean, you know, Jimmy Carter's Christian, and Bill Clinton's a Christian. It doesn't mean anything today, you know? I mean, when we say it, we mean it from a conviction, you know? You have to kind of put terms on it. I'm a Bible-believing Christian, whatever, you know? So what happened is, as you get like, you know, here we are, rightly divided, as we start going up this apostasy, and remember what the apostasy is, it's a post that literally starts to lean, a state. As you start getting away from the Word of God and from rightly dividing it, you got your fundamental Baptist. And a lot of these people are, you know, we could have fellowship, but they're just not quite there on rightly dividing it, or they may use the authorized version but not believe it. Where I came from, Pastor, there was 40 years, and the pulpit, the whole Bible, hold up the King James Bible and go, use it. This is just a translation. Nothing front. This is just a translation. There's no authority. He lost the authority. And it's pretty much, you know, it's just a social club. I mean, God's still dealing with individuals because he's sovereign and he understands those things, you know. But as you start getting away from these things, your Bible churches and Southern Baptists and Contemporary and Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutherans, Assembly, the Assembly of God, Assembly of God, Pentecostal Charismatics. I remember dealing with them way early on in my Christian life. I remember looking at that church history. They started there in 1899 at the Azusa Street Mission. I'm just giving you a broad thing. You could spend a couple hours each one of these things, and I hope you would do that to see where we're at. But they started in 1899 at the Azusa Street Mission. And I believe that they had that Welsh revivals coming out of that, what was a real revival. And so what the devil did, he started this Azusa Street Mission here, and that's where that charismatic and Pentecostal movement came. I think the guy's name was Seymour, a black man. Guy, one of the leaders, went to jail for sodomy. That's a fact. Well, you mean God using some guy, a guy that had sodomy? I mean, look at the background. And I've talked to some of these charismatic people here, And I nailed down, I go, you know, you guys only started, your history goes back to here. We was all quiet until that started again. That's what the Mormon churches and our church say. There was no, only we have the truth. Only, and there's no history behind it. Be careful of that, you know. You know, I mean, God's always available. And talk about doctrine. Try to find a book written by a charismatic Pentecostal. They're undoctrinal. I mean, find a book out there on some side doctrine. It pretty much don't exist. The Holy Spirit, you know. So obviously, as you get off these things here, in fact, I remember the very first time I was introduced to this charismatic Pentecostal movement. I was newly saved, and somehow talked to a guy somewhere, and, you're a believer. Great. And he goes, well, you speak in tongues. I go, what's tongues? You know, I'm only saved a few months. What I noticed, by the way, is once somebody gets saved, you can know that the devil is on a counterattack. You're always trying to send somebody in there, a cult or a clan or something, to kind of get people away. And you know what happened? Now, I'm open. Heck, as a believer, you know, I'm listening. I thought if you're saved, everyone was righteous, trust everybody. I'm not kidding you. I thought, oh, you're saved? You never would lie, cheat. I was just like completely thought that. Boy, was I wrong there, you know? I didn't realize that the God is, you know, we have that flesh nature still we're dealing with, and the spirit, and it's a battle one after the other, and the one that you feed wins the most. I learned all that thing, you know? And he's telling me about showing me in Corinthians about speaking tongues. You guys speaking tongues, brother? He's telling me, like, oh. And I'm just listening to him. I'm like, is this true, you know? Oh, he's trying to get me to speak in tongues, you know? You know? And then I tell you what kind of the Lord used. I was telling him I was going to get married back then. Well, I just got married too. And he pulled a picture out of his wife, and she was wearing like a string bikini. I'm like, oh, I don't want to see that. And that kind of threw a red flag out to me. I'm like, hey, that's ding, 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 red flag. I mean, why would he show me that? But see, I that is kind of just like, Lord says, keep an eye on that. No. So, you know, and I said, I get home, research, and I go, ah, those guys are snakes. And the guy was, he might have been saved. There's probably saved people all throughout these groups. Hey, they're the cults here. Look at, in 2 Peter 2:1, it says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. See that there? There can be heresies, but if you're damnable, it's a bad deal. That's salvation right there. Even denying the Lord that brought them and bring unto themselves swift destruction. I believe there are people even that get saved, get stuck in the cults. I'm sure there's some Catholics that are saved. I'm sure there are people that I have a client, Joe Witness. I talked to her. She don't agree with a lot of stuff, but you're stuck in that system. It's a real, I mean, the Lord knows for sure. Like, she's probably a saved gal. I remember I was getting my hair cut years ago, and Witness said to my girl, cut my hair. I'm giving her tracks. You could tell she's interested. You're not just being there. So she's having troubles. I'm witness to her. I come back. He goes, hey, I became a believer. I'm like, well, praise the Lord. I mean, I'm excited about that. Oh, this is just going on and on about the Lord. I met these great people. They're so nice. I'm joining fellowship. I go, what's the name of them? Well, it's Jesus Christ and Church of Latter-day Saints. I'm like, oh, man. I go, oh, man. And so I did this. Me, my brother, Rich again, went over to the Bible study. I mean, I didn't go there. First of all, I learned some things there, but I'm trying to help her get out of that. I want to say, that's a wicked cult. They're going to hell. No, I just try to be gracious with her, with the new believer here. And so we went over to that place in Woodridge, and a lady teaching it. And she goes, I go, we'll have a Bible study with you, no problem, as long as you use the authorized version. And boy, the meeting's got a little heated, for say the least, whatever, you know. And then finally she goes, well, this King James Bible is really just kindergarten. We have the real, like here, you know, their Bible they use, you know, with Mark, you know. And then I go, no. We agreed right here that we think this book here. And I don't want to have that lady, but it's really sad she got sucked into that cult. I mean, just, you know, the fellowship and all that, you know, and the building and the niceness, you know, I mean, you know, very superficial. That's how the cults get you in. When you find out some of the deep doctrine of the Mormon church and a lot of these Mason stuff, it gets very dark real quickly. But most people are at the very beginning. You know why? Keeps the dough coming in. You know? Keeps the dough coming in. Anyways, so what happens here? Why is there apostasy? Now, I'll tell you what I believe, because I believe the scripture tells you here, okay? I think that there's apostasy here for two reasons. Pride and filthy lucre. This is my personal experience. It says here, it says, John 10:13, the hireling fleeteth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. You become a pastor or somebody here, you know what though? Think about it. You got to make a living. And what happens is you're going to get some truth. And what do you do when this truth comes out and it goes contrary to maybe what you were thought, your school you went to, your seminary, maybe people that are given? It says the word filthy lucre is mentioned 5 times in Scripture. Oh, 5, number of death, amen? You know? And 1 Timothy 3:3, 1 Timothy 3:8, Titus 1:7, Titus 1:11, 1 Peter 5:2, it says, not greedy in filthy lucre. They ought not be filthy lucre for filthy lucre's sake. So it's that the buck. The old saying, foul dollar. And I've seen this happen in my life where, you know what though? If I believe this way, you know what happened? You know, probably a bunch of people leave and they lose their income. So they rationalize it. See, they've got away from this foundation. Hey, how does it look? How, if that is solid, and this is a truth that's true, if I go to it, I may lose a congregation. Well, so what? Just stand on truth. It's getting harder and harder to do today, without a doubt, but that's where it takes faith. And then a lot of times, without a doubt, pride. That's a big one. Oh, that's a big one. 1 Timothy 3:6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. That pride is a tough thing. Because you know why? This is what we always believe. You know? You go against maybe what your parents believe, or maybe what, like, say, what the school you're raised in. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And there's a progression there. You know, it says here, the lust of the flesh. A lot of time that appeals to younger people. You know why? They're looking for the flesh. You know, young kids or whatever it is, you know, that flesh, you know, you want to have it. Young people, you know what I'm saying, you know? And maybe get past that thing here. But then it says here, lust of the eyes. A lot of times, especially in America, you know what though? You're working a little bit, you get a little Federal Reserve notes, you know, and what happens? You can buy some things. Yeah, I like that. And you know what though? You're tempted to buy it. And then last thing is the pride of life. Look what I have done. See that there, you know? It's a trend. And same thing with here. A lot of people have built these churches, buildings, and they may have successful, but you want to know the pride gets to them. I remember I was talking to this one gal, went to Harvest Bible Church. It's this big mammoth church here in Chicago area. And I'm showing her about the King James issue, rightly dividing it, music issue, all these issues that are real important that's stuck in this contemporary baloney stuff, you know? And I remember sending an email to leaders. This guy here, he's a King James guy, goes out street preaching, jails, all the stuff he does, and he's telling me that this is, you know, kind of more biblical. And the answer back was, we used to do that, but look at us now. They got a big, giant mega church, millions of dollars of salaries. See here? That trumps the final authority and sound doctrine. You see that? It's just really basic. I was a Gideon. I still am a Gideon. In the 80s, my pastor recommended me to the Gideons. They'd call the Gideons are people who go around the hotels, motels, schools, colleges, universities, and put Bibles in the traffic lanes of life. They've given out over 1,400,000,000 Bibles throughout the world. That's a lot of Bibles. They're well organized. Right? They're businessmen, and they use their time, and our dues pay for all the costs. So 100% of the money goes to buy Bibles. They're very well organized, and they're smart. They have free labor, want to serve the Lord, and it's paid for by the dues. So all your money goes for Bibles. That's a very good attitude. They're smart, and I went joined back in the 80s. Pastor recommended me, and I'll never forget, I was at a restaurant, Charco's, and the guy went through all the things that they would do. And I'm like, man, this is hotel, motels, prisons. I go, I'm in. No, no, I go, sir, one question. What version of the Bible do you give out? He goes, all we have is King James. I go, sign me up, $25. Where I put, you couldn't stop me from my $25, and I'm in. And you know what happened? What a great thing. Went to all the high schools you could went to and schools. And I jumped right into the thing because I liked it. Because you know why? They were able to get in places that I wasn't able to get in. And over a period of time, you got a little resources, you got a little zeal, you got a little energy, and they moved me up here. And sure enough, I'm scripture coordinator and chaplain of the Gideons. You know? And boy, did I learn a lot of this during that growing process, you know? I mean, just tremendous amount of growth. I remember going to St. Benedictine College, trying to get Bibles in there, Catholic school. And I remember talking to that father, you know, a father dressing like a mother, you know? I'm saying, you know, for that thing, I kind of acted more. Anyways, I go, Father, you know, let's get Bibles in here, you know? And I remember saying, what version of the Bible do you give? All? I go, all we have is King James. He says, anyone except that one. The enemy knows. You know what I said? I used the wisdom of the world. What difference to make? It's all God. You know, I use the same philosophy that they use on the believers. I kind of turned it around. Oh, okay, come on in. So I go, guys, we're in St. Benedict. And I put a bunch of men in the cafeteria called the Bible Awareness Week. I took 100 Bibles in my backpack, went around to schools, handed them out. That was 1 year. We got in. But here's the point being, with the Gideon International, one day, by the way, we're now going to switch from the King James to the New King James. I go, wait a minute, I'm chaplain time. I didn't hear about this. You know, some, because all the pressure, see the pressure, satanic pressure. And I go, wait a minute here. And I remember back then I had a stack. I went to the two top guys. Lord put me in there. I had VHS cassettes. I had different authors, and I gave them. I go, you guys can't. I'm compassionately. You guys can't do this. I passed them two stacks of material. If you take New King James in, it'll be something else. Oh, no, just these and thous. You know, they believe the lie. And talking to them was like deer in headlights. They didn't want to know nothing. And long story short, it went from New King James to ESV. I still get their magazine here. I'm still getting in. Here it is, giving out distributions, all ESV. You know what ESV stands for? Extra Stinky Version. You know? Right there, you know? I mean, they give out 50 million scriptures a year in U.S. That's quite a feat. But now about 30 million are ESVs. I tell you, what happened is, that's all part of this experience here I've had here. As I was like Gideon, everyone was kind of afraid of Chicago. And the Lord's giving me a little boldness. And I go, hey, the Chicago schools aren't getting at all hit. So there are 99 schools in Chicago. I go, let's do, I call it Operation MAD. That's in Jude 20, making a difference. And some having fashion, making a difference. And I got together all the camps. There's 100 camps in Illinois. I got a lot of the camps, gave them each three schools, and went there and gave scriptures in Chicago public schools. We're giving out 30, 40,000 Bibles per year, King James Bibles. And then we did a blitz to the prisons and so forth. I got into the prisons for the Gideons. And we're giving away, I go, Tim, this is going real good. Let's make this an annual event. We'll call it the Chicago Blitz. And we're giving away 100,000 Bibles to the schools, nursing homes. Everyone came in Chicago. What a great thing. And I'm organizing it. I mean, what an opportunity. You know, years ago, I said to the Lord, Lord, I'd like to give away $1 million, million scriptures, million Bibles. I prayed to the Lord. And when you pray that thing, you're young and stupid, the Lord's giving you the opportunity to do all that. Just because you didn't, not because that's one round number. And we're giving away all these Bibles. I'm like, wow, put me in a spot here. And they came to me. I then lost my, after 3 years, you're out of the chaplain position, you know. So, and the New King James came in. They go, Tim, you're doing a good job on the Chicago Blitz. We want you to handle it from year on. You're still doing it, by the way. And I go, I will do it. But I have one request. We have to use King James Bibles. We can't do that. You see that there? That's a spirit, folks. It's a spirit. In fact, it costs 5 cents more to order the new King James. That's 5,000. Hey, 5,000 bucks. I go, 5,000 a year covers this many more Bibles we can send to overseas. They couldn't do it. So you have a conscience, right? Sometimes the Lord give you things what to do, and you can't go against your conscience. You see that? I go, I can't do that. And the other guy took over, and of course they went from New King James, now to the ESV. You know, kind of a, you know, I'm the Lord, I'm sure, still using best he can, but you see, this foundation right here is just shaking. I mean, so I was right there when if you go to a hotel now, look at the Bible. I guarantee you, open it up, ESV. I guarantee it. When you go to a hotel sometime, next time you stay, open a drawer. They're very, very good at going placing Bibles. They're fantastic, well organized. They're pretty much ESV. And then when I left, a lot of people, that real concerned people, they kind of left. And what came in are some of the stuff over here. They remember they want to get Catholics in there and so forth. They get that foundation. It's rocked. Because of the Gideons, I was able to get into the prisons. I've been going to prisons for over 25 years. And a couple of my buddies were in Gideons. So I got them in through a gentleman's ministry. It was called, I forgot what his ministry was named. But he allowed us to come in there. And every Saturday, we go in there with an accordion, a keyboard. We sing and we preach. And he came with us. We're preaching, you know, solid Bible, you know, death, burial, resurrection. And we're just doing a great job. And he saw that we were good, solid people, and we had full reign of the entire Cook County Jail. That's the biggest jail in the entire country. And we go there on Saturday, every Saturday, and we go there on Thursdays. So we go there 5 times a week going in there. I can't tell you how great that was. And he had written a book called The Greatest Evangelist, this gentleman here that ran his ministry. And he gave us each a copy. It was a pretty good book. But my buddy Dave, who you've been here before with me, he's a real soft-spoken guy. He read the book, but it was all kind of, you know, NIV, ASV kind of stuff. And just real nicely says, oh, that's a great book. But you, what though? It'd be good if you used the King James Bible. Just real quietly. I mean, nobody said that to him. Next week there, that his partner meets us there at the prison and goes, oh, by the way, you guys can't come here anymore. We can't. You know, what do we do? You know, I mean, you guys are out. Now, I was able to get in there to Gideon's, but all that ministry 5 times was gone. And finally, I'm writing him. I go, hey, what's going on here, man? You got a problem? Let's talk about it, you know? He didn't like that we mentioned a King James Bible. You see that thing? It's a spirit, folks. They just can't stand it. And matter of fact, it's interesting, years later, I have it, that guy wrote me a letter apologizing for that. He goes, man, that was wrong for me to do that. And now he's out of that ministry, he was evangelizing Muslims, but he sent me a nice letter saying, man, shame on me for doing that. But it was kind of late over there, but showing you how just that little truth right here, it's a spiritual matter. Now, I got to be done at 10:02. I got way more, but I'm done here, you know. But all these things here, from my experience, show you getting away from this foundational document. This here, why is important? Closing, growth. Salvation is easy. I mean, death, burial, resurrection, your Savior. It's easy to get saved. That's simple, really is. But you know what these things are? It gives you growth. You grow by having good authority and good doctrine. You understanding who God is by getting good doctrine and understanding that there. You understanding how God works. You see, it's like the more you know somebody, right? I know people at church better or friends. The more you know them, I mention God how good he is, then the more close you get with the walk, right? So same thing. And without, by not having good doctrine and good final authority, you lose a lot of that. Our relationship obviously is tied into this. And it says here, bottom line, last thing is our faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen? And how does faith come? Romans 10, 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and their words unto the ends of the world. Those words. That's why it's very important to have those things and understand them. And I give you 100 examples over the years of talking to people individually. And they're off on the street, whatever it is, they're a believer, and they're off on some doctrine, and it had to do with either not rightly dividing it or changing the word. Almost every time. And if you talk to people, you'll know what I say is true. Always comes down to they either change the word of God or they have misapplied it. And they got some teaching about, and they're saved people, about God, and affects your walk. That's why this is affected. This affects the individual, us, and it affects the church age. And that's why, and God prophesies it, ready to get out of here. Amen? Questions all before I close? Oh, amen. Okay. Well, in the Assembly of God people, they don't understand the covenants, rightly divide the covenants. So you're back under an old covenant. You can lose your salvation, right? You know, that's that rightly dividing part. This group doesn't understand the covenants. That's why when I see people, I generally give them, I'll close here, I give them generally three booklets. One, I give them a battle map. It's a good track. Shows you about the Christian walk. If you have a chance to talk to someone, give them some meat. Christian walk. I try to give them one on dispensations. So I give them something on dispensations. Hey, I'm trying to get, I'm right dividing the word, and I'm trying to give them something on the word of God. Brother Hoffman's got one. You know, so something, we get the word of God, rightly dividing it, and a walk. You know, try to give it out. You know why? God just might use you. Amen? He just might use you to change someone's life. It's still using people, folks. We're still the answer. Using people with the Holy Spirit leading to get the people. And so, if you have a chance, get to them a little bit. You never know. Believe me, the story hasn't been told yet. We'll find out in glory, like, that thing I told that guy, look what happened. Man, I'm telling you. I mean, you see this sister here? How the enemy, and this enemy, is trying to discourage us and the walk in the word. All right, Father in heaven, thank you very much for an opportunity here to talk to these folks here, Father, about kind of a simple truth, Lord, but it's profound, Father, how deep it goes and how the foundation has to be built on solid ground that it can grow well. So I just pray, for this sister's son and spiritual dealings he's dealing with, and we thank you that maybe this would be settled some way. Maybe folks here just need to settle some things here, Father, on these matters here, Lord, and help them grow. So thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to show it. Thank you for the opportunity that I've had to experience a lot of these things that made me closer with you, with your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.